Our Sunday school lessons in May, as we talked about last week, deal with relationships. And as I pointed out last week, God made us to have relationships. I mean, that was his purpose in making us. First purpose was in making us to have a relationship with him. And so he created Adam and placed him in the garden so that they could have fellowship together. And then the second relationship that God wants us to have is a relationship with our family. And so Eve was created and children came along, and God, you know, wanted Adam and Eve and the boys to have the right kind of relationships in their family. And then the relationship with others, those that are outside our families, our neighbors, our friends, people that we work with, people that we go to school with. And again, the aim of the lessons in the month of May, there's one aim that they have, is to help us to maximize those relationships. In other words, make them everything that God wants them to be. God has a will for us in our relationship with him. He has a will for us in our relationship with our family. He has a will for us in our relationship with our friends and our neighbors and our coworkers. And as I mentioned in open assembly, I'm glad God never tells us to do anything without telling us how to do it. I mean, in this book reveals his love, but it's also an instruction book. And so it tells us what he wants us to be in our relationship with him. It tells us what he wants us to be in our relationship to our family. And he tells us in this book what the relationship he wants to have with those around us. And so last week we started by talking about the most important relationship we have, the relationship with God. And we looked at Proverbs. All the lessons in the month of May are from the book of Proverbs. We were in Proverbs chapter 3. And we mentioned three things that that the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, pointed out to us as to how we can make that most important relationship that we have, the relationship with God, how we can make that right. And so you remember the things that we talked about last week were we need to trust God. We just need to trust him. We need to live in his wisdom, and then don't get distracted. I mean, don't let the world distract us from living in his wisdom. So this morning we move from Proverbs chapter 3 to the last chapter of Proverbs, chapter 31, and we're going to talk about family relationships. So the title of the lesson this morning is Building the Home That I Need. Now, this verse is not part of our scripture for this morning, but in Proverbs 31, verse 1, the Bible says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." Now, we might read that and say, well, this was a different guy. Actually, if you do study, you'll find out that most scholars think that King Lemuel was actually King Solomon. And Lemuel was sort of a pet name that his mother called him. And so we have in this chapter King Solomon sharing, again, all the Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit, so these words come from God, but he used King Solomon to pen these words in Proverbs 31, and he said, these are instructions or wisdom that I got from my mom. And in this chapter, he's talking about, and his mom instructed him about the kind of woman that he should look for in a wife. And so we're going to talk about the virtuous woman this morning. And it's appropriate as we celebrate Mother's Day, I think, to do this. Now, lest all the men say, okay, that's all I need to listen this morning because you're going to be talking to ladies about, you know, what kind of women they need to be and what kind of moms they need to be. Let me just say to the men that the same characteristics that we're going to talk about in this virtuous woman are the characteristics that you as husbands and you and I as husbands and fathers need to exhibit. They're the same characteristics that we need to exhibit as children, if we still have families where we are a child. They are the same characteristics that grandfathers and grandmothers need to have in their families. And they are the same characteristics that grandchildren need to have as they are part of a family. And so I think that one of those descriptions would include everybody here. You're either a mother, a wife, a father, a husband, a child, or a grandchild. And so just because, and again, if I don't catch myself, I'll be talking about women, but I want to make the point that these characteristics apply to everybody in the home. And to have the kind of home that God wants us to have, we need to exhibit these characteristics. I will tell you, good homes don't just happen. Okay? To have the kind of home that God wants us to have, we have to work at it. And it's not something that you achieve in a month or a year or even a decade. Having the kind of home that God wants us to have is a lifetime work. Okay? It's a work that's never done. And I would tell you this morning, even though you may not agree with me, I think grandparents need to work at it just as much as newlyweds do. Now, they may know a little bit more because they've experienced more. Okay? But grandparents need to work just as much as having the home that God wants them to have as those that are just starting out in life. And so, again, those of us that have been at it for a while, we need to teach and model how family relationships need to work. And we need to model that for our children or grandchildren. Now, most of the time, we as parents and grandparents don't realize that our kids and our grandkids are watching us. I mean, we don't stop and think about it. But I will tell you, they are always watching you. I mean, they may be playing on their computer, they may be watching TV, but they are watching mom and dad, and they are watching grandpa and grandma. And their little minds are like little computers. They are soaking up every interaction that they see. They are soaking up how grandpa treats grandma and how grandma treats grandpa and how mom and dad treat each other. They are soaking that up. And again, we may not realize it and we may not think about it, but we are influencing our children and our grandchildren as to the kind of home they are going to have. And so we need to be cognizant that, you know, we ought to treat each other right because we ought to just treat each other right. But we need to treat each other right, and we need to treat each other the way that God wants us to treat each other in our homes, because we are determining, as we do that, the kind of home our children are going to have. You say, and I know, it's not, you know, if I do everything right, then my kids are going to have a good home. I know they have decisions to make, and I know other things happen. But listen, to a large degree, they are going to base what they do on what we do. And so we need to always keep in the back of our mind that we are teaching our children, teaching our grandchildren, whether we realize it or not. And so it's so, so important for God's people to stay true to this book and be what he tells us to be in this book as moms, as dads, as parents, as grandparents. We need to stay in this book. All right, so this morning, lesson has three parts, as usual. Here they are. Be trustworthy, be responsible, be godly. Okay? Trustworthy, responsible, and godly. Now, let me point out, and I don't know if you noticed it, if you read your lesson, it's in the pupil's book, but these last 22 verses of Proverbs chapter 31 are an acrostic poem in the original Hebrew. Acrostic poem is a poem. The Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters, and in the Hebrew, these verses, each one of them start with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet from A to Z, so to speak. It's Alpha to Omega. So from Alpha to Omega, not A to Z, but Alpha to Omega. See, you didn't think I knew any Greek, did you? But actually, that's Greek and not Hebrew, so I'm mixed up anyway. So anyhow, I don't know what the Hebrew first letter and the last letter is. Brother Ray, do you know? That's right. So do you know what the Hebrews are, though? I don't either. Okay. So I don't feel so bad. but anyhow, so but it was an acrostic poem. Probably a way to help memorize these verses. Probably a way that God was saying, hey, moms are from A to Z or whatever it is, the Hebrew letters. Their character runs the whole gamut from the beginning to the end. All right, so if you have your Bibles, look at Proverbs 31. We'll read verses 10 to 12 to get started this morning. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. So verse 10 starts with a question. Who can find a virtuous woman? And some will read that question and say, well, God's implying as he asked that question that a virtuous woman, there are few and far between, and it's hard to find one. But we shouldn't read that question as a pessimist with that kind of attitude. It's a rhetorical question. It's a question that's designed to get your attention, a question that's designed to say, hey, this woman that I'm about to describe deserves your study and your consideration because she is a good example. Now, the Hebrew word for woman is isha, which can be translated either woman or wife, okay? And so in the Hebrew, it carried the connotation of both. And when we read that word virtuous, when we think of it in the English, we think of purity, and it does include purity. But the Hebrew word is hayal, which is sort of a military term. And you'll find, I'll point them out as we go along, there's several instances in these verses that we're going to look at this morning that have a military connotation. And you might not think, well, how does that fit in with the description of a virtuous woman? Well, you'll see as we go along. But that word, hail, is used in context of military accomplishments. It's a person of valor, an heroic individual who by skill and character accomplishes something heroic, again, on the battlefield or in the context of a military conflict. And so this lady that Solomon is going to talk about is an exceptional lady. He says her price is far above rubies. Doesn't mean that she's to be sold, traded, or bought, but he's using that phrase to describe how valuable this kind of woman is to her husband. She is worth more than any jewel. Again, a ruby was a jewel not only of beauty but of great worth. And Solomon was saying she is worth more than the price of a ruby. And what he's implying is a woman like this is a gift from God. And that we as men need his help in finding one. Now, again, the author makes the point several times, and he didn't do it in the student book, but in the teacher's book and in the commentary, he made the point. He said, guys, I'm not telling you to take this checklist and then evaluate your prospective mates. He said, that's not the intent. The intent is we're to take this list of characteristics and evaluate ourselves. Not only ladies, but men. Because, again, these characteristics are characteristics that God expects everybody in the home to have. And so, as it teaches many other places in the Bible, the first person that we should evaluate against this list is ourselves. What am I doing in my life to have these characteristics? What am I doing in my life with the Holy Spirit help to model these ways of living in my relationships in my home? And so again, that's what we need to do. In verse 11, it says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. And again, that word heart, as we talked about last week, is not just the organ that pumps blood. It's our whole being. It's our intellect. It's our emotions. It's our will. And so what Solomon is saying is, when you find a woman like this, you can trust her. And again, that word safely trust means you have, you're fully secure. You have full confidence. When you find a woman like this, and by the way, it's not, again, I'll point it out, it should not only be true of women, but it should be true of men. It should be true of husbands just as much as it's true of wives. We should be completely trustworthy. Our spouse, in their whole being, their intellect, their emotions, their will, should be able to have full confidence and feel secure in the relationship that they have with us. God says that's the kind of relationship I want you to have in your homes. It's the kind of relationships that husbands and wives should have. And just think about this. There's nowhere else in the Bible that God tells us to trust somebody or something other than Him. Think about that. Everywhere else in the Bible, people are condemned and rebuked for trusting something other than God. And yet here in this chapter, again, the only place in the Bible that God says, no, I want you in your homes to trust your husband, to trust your wife completely, your whole being, I want you to be able to trust them in that way. And that kind of trust, Solomon says, is the basis or the foundation for the kind of homes that God wants us to have. Just a full, complete confidence in the other person. And then that verse says, there's no need to spoil. Again, a military term. Spoil is what the conquering army plunders or takes from those that they have conquered. And so what Solomon is saying here, by this virtuous, heroic woman, through her efforts, she wins the essentials of life. Through her efforts, she wins food and clothing, which we're going to talk about specifically in her verses. But through her, and just like a warrior, through strategy and strength, wins the spoils of the battle, so a virtuous woman, the kind of woman that God wants you to be, and again, the kind of men that He wants us to be, through our strategy and our skills to win the essentials of life that every home needs. Then in verse 12, it says, she will do him good. In other words, be a benefit. Provide the good things that are needed, and not evil, not hurtful or harmful, all the days of her life. She doesn't change. Now, I know people change through time. I mean, you know, we change in how we look, the color of our hair. Brother Clint told me this morning, he said, good morning. He said, I thought he said gray head. I said, I thought when I got my hair cut short, there was less gray. But he didn't say gray head, he said burr head. I said, okay, that's good. But we change. I mean, our hair color changes, the way we look changed, and all that other stuff. But God's saying, these characteristics, this characteristic of being trustworthy, of being able to trust each other with our whole being, being completely confident, just like God wants us to trust Him. He doesn't want us to have any doubts. He doesn't want us to have any second thoughts that He will take care of us and provide for us. God's saying, I want you to have that trust in your home, and I don't want it to change. It's not a temporary thing. You don't retire. You don't quit. You don't change this with time. All her life, all our life. And again, this is the kind of trust that God wants us to have as husbands and wives, and it's the foundation. This trust is the foundation of the home that God wants us to have. Now, doesn't mean we won't make mistakes. We are human beings, and we will make mistakes. But it means when we make a mistake that we need to be honest, we need to admit it, we need to apologize for it, and our spouse needs to know that in everything we do, we have their good at heart. We have their good as our motivation. And again, not just for ladies, but for the men. It goes both ways. And so, how do we have these right relationships in our home? We are trustworthy. We conduct ourselves in a way that our spouse can trust us in every area of their life completely. Completely. You say, well, preacher, my spouse has made some mistakes. I have a hard time trusting that my spouse. You say, then here's what I suggest you do. I suggest you together go to God and ask each other's forgiveness if you haven't already for that mistake. Ask God for his forgiveness and then ask God to restore that trust in your life. Because, again, what Solomon is saying, you cannot have the kind of relationships that I want you to have in your home until you have that kind of trust. You might say, well, you don't know what he did or you don't know what she did. I can never have it. I can never have it again. Why are you limiting God? Why are you saying that God can't restore that kind of trust in your relationship? Is there anything too hard for God? Is his hand shortened that he can't do it? I would say if that's the way you feel about your spouse, you ought to look at your relationship with God. Because what you're saying is, God can't restore it. God can. God can. And God will if you let him. And again, if we're going to have the kind of relationships that we need between ourselves and God and in our homes, then we need to know what it is to have this kind of trust. All right, let's look at the next section. And by the way, this next section has a lot to do with the trust, because if we are not responsible, it'll be hard to have that trust. Proverbs 31, verses 15 through 20. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planted a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. So this virtuous woman, virtuous wife, shows herself to be not only capable in the home, but astute in business. And she also reaches out and cares for those beyond her family. In verses 15 and verse 18, it talks about her schedule. She riseth while it is yet night. In other words, she gets up early. And her candle goeth not out by night. In other words, she stays up late. This kind of lady is not a lazy woman. This is kind of a lady that works from sunup to sundown. We've all heard the expression, a woman's work is never done. Amen and amen and amen. Rising early, staying up late. She provides meat for her family. In other words, she provides meals and feeds her family. And that word portion in verse 15 talks about something that's prescribed or appointed. And so the verse is not saying that she also feeds her maidens, her servants, her lady servants, although she may do that. But what that verse is saying is she will assign them tasks. So she manages the household. She manages the servants that are in the house. But I would tell you that I think this verse has a wider context. And again, what these verses are talking about characteristics that have to do with both men and women. And so I think the context of this verse applies to children and husbands as well. Okay? There ought to be structure in our homes. Our children need to have chores. And it's okay to have honey-do lists. As long as they go both ways. So if you, as a wife, want to give your husband a honey-do list, that's fine. I think that goes along with having structure in the home. I think God wants it to be organized. But just be ready if he gives you a honey-do list, because it goes both ways. And I think God is pleased with that. Now, verse 16. See, I didn't hear any amens to that. You men were too afraid to say amen. I'm just teasing you. Verse 16 is an unusual verse in the Jewish culture. women back in Jewish culture weren't usually involved in buying property or making money. Now, there were a few that we read about that apparently didn't have husbands that had to. But this verse talks, verse 16 talks about she considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hand. She planteth a vineyard. So again, it just speaks to the astuteness that she has in business. I mean, she evaluates property. She buys it with the fruit of her hand. The money that she has made, she buys and plants a vineyard. Now, again, sometimes we get caught up in stereotypes, and if you go back to the Bible, those stereotypes may not always be true. I mean, most of us grew up with the stereotype that the man is the breadwinner and the woman is the homemaker. I would tell you that I think God has both of us that have responsibility in that regard. I mean, in today's world, many, many women work outside the home, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, as long as both mom and dad understand that working outside the home for both of them does not negate the responsibility that they have to their children and that they have to their home. In fact, since God puts in each one of us skills and abilities, when we come together as husband and wife, I think God wants us and is pleased when we recognize those skills and abilities that each other have, and we structure our home to make best advantage of those skills and abilities. I mean, the stereotype, you know, that most of us grew up with, well, the man's the breadwinner, he ought to handle the checkbook. Well, I've known men that can't even add. Those are not men that you want handling the checkbook. There's nothing wrong with a wife being responsible for paying the bills and handling checkbook if she can add better than her husband. Nothing wrong with that. And I think that's what this verse is saying. That, yes, she directs her maidens, the servants, but there also needs to be structure in the home. And God expects us to use the talents and the skills that he's given us to our best ability to have the kind of homes that he wants us to have. Okay. All right, verse 17. Again, verse 17 is another military kind of reference. It talks about she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Girdeth her loins with strength. It has a military context, and it talks about a soldier that's putting on his armor, getting ready to go into battle. And so again, this verse talks about what this woman has done to prepare herself for handling not only the work that she's going to do, but the challenges that are gonna come. And it talks about the preparation, girdeth and strengtheneth. Again, speaks to her personal efforts as she makes herself ready to work. In verse 18, that word perceiveth literally means to taste. To taste. So the merchandise is the result of her efforts. And so as she tastes or experiences the results of her efforts, she knows that they're good, that they're beneficial and helpful to her family. And again, she's willing to work late into the night to provide those things that her family needs. In verse 15, we talked about giving meat. Verse 19 talks about clothing. The spindle and the distaff were instruments that were used to spin thread and turn it into cloth. And so she not only provides, and again, this is not just speaking to women. It's speaking to men and women. It's speaking to husbands and wives. It's speaking to fathers and mothers. It talks about providing the food that our family needs, providing the clothes that our family needs. And then in verse 20, this woman reaches out to help others. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's generous to her neighbors. She's generous to those people that have needs. She uses the blessings that God has bestowed upon her home to help others that are less fortunate. Um, Okay, let's, for sake of time, let's move on to verses 25 through 31. All right. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. This last section is where we find this virtuous woman's greatest strength. In verse 25, it says strength and honor. That word strength is the same word strength in verse 17. It speaks to her character. Always trying to do what's right. Honor talks to her dignity. Always being appropriate. But, and again, we use those two words, character and dignity. And we might think of somebody that's always somber, always serious. Well, the last part of that verse where she says, but she rejoices in the time to come, I think it says, but she doesn't take herself too seriously. She looks to the future not as a challenge, not as something to fear, but something to enjoy. And when we live trying to do what's right and trying to do what's always appropriate, we can enjoy the things that God sends into our lives. And so she looks forward to the future, again, not in fear, but knowing that she can handle anything with God's help. Now, this in verse 26 says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is a law of kindness. Up to this point, we've talked about things that she has done. This verse tells us that this lady is also has some intellect and spiritual depth. She speaks wisdom. In other words, when she speaks, she trains her children in ethics, in religious instruction. But she tempers that instruction with kindness. And that word there for the law of kindness is the Hebrew word hesed. And it talks about God's loyalty, faithfulness, and loving kindness. And so when she instructs her children in ethics and brings them up with the religious instruction that they need, she says, but you got to put kindness in with it. You got to remember that we need to be kind to other people, like God in his love toward us was kind. She looketh well to the ways of her household. Again, another military reference. She's a sentry. She looks for things that may come into her household that would harm it, that would destroy the unity and the harmony that exists in the house. And so again, I'll repeat what I said in open assembly. Don't buy into this thing that the world says that our children should have 100% complete privacy. It's all right for you to snoop. It's all right for you to keep track of. Now again, you ought to respect them, and please don't take me wrong. But we've been, I think, by what the world says, we've been pushed way back into the corner, and we don't think we have any right to know what goes on in our children's life. That's a lie straight from hell. And that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to back off. You need to know what your children watch on TV. You need to know the kind, and you need to instruct them, and you need to censor some of the stuff that they watch. And I know there's a certain age where, you know, you lose that influence, but you ought to you ought to exercise it as long as you can. Even if they're grown and out on their own and have families of their own, if mom or dad sees something that is going astray, you ought to not hesitate to talk about it. You ought to not hesitate to mention it. Because again, tell me in the Bible where it says when your children reach a certain age, you are discharged from being a parent. I've read it through many, many times. I've never seen that verse. If it's in there, you need to point it out to me. I don't believe it's in there. I don't believe we are ever discharged from being a parent. I don't believe that job is ever over. And God has given you wisdom. You've been around longer than your children have. That's pretty deep, isn't it, Brother Gary? We've been around longer than our children have. We ought to have more wisdom than they do, and we ought to be willing to share that wisdom with them. Again, they may not listen. They may rebuff us. It doesn't mean we shouldn't try. Doesn't mean we shouldn't try. Let's see. Eateth not the bread of idleness. She has no part in the habits or excuses of the lazy person. Now, verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. So her family notices what she does. And her children rise up. And that word blessed is the same word that's used in Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. And it talks about the favor that comes from God, the blessings that come from God. And so children rise up and call their mother blessed, and her husband agrees. He praises her. In fact, in verse 29, here's what that verse is saying. He's saying there's a lot of virtuous women, and if you get them all together, my wife is better than all of them. That's what that verse says. My wife surpasses all of them. That's how every husband ought to feel about their wife. And then he goes on in the next verse and say, the basis of this praise is not charm. Charm or favor. The Bible uses the word favor. That word means charm. Charm doesn't always reveal a person's heart. A charming person can just be good at charming. Okay? Nor does it come from beauty. It says beauty is vain. That word vain means breath or vapor. It's temporary. It doesn't last forever. But what's the basis for this woman's strength, for her character? It's the fact that she feareth the Lord. And that's the key. That's a woman's greatest strength. That's what every woman, and by the way, that's what every man, that's what every mother, and by the way, that's what every father. We need to fear the Lord. Again, not be afraid of him, but fear that is respect, awe, worship, submission to his authority in every area of life. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when we fear God in that way, it's the basis for being what we need to be in our relationship with God and the basis for what we need to be in a relationship in our home. Verse 31, give her the fruit of her hands. In other words, she's earned our praise. And let her own works praise her in the gates. We need to praise her publicly in the gates. We need to lift her up. We need to tell her publicly how much we love her, how much we appreciate her, how much that the integral part that she is of the family. You know, when God created Eve in the Garden of Eden, he said, it is not good that the man be alone. So he created a helpmeet for him. And these verses tell us what kind of helpmeets we need to be. And again, not just for the ladies, but for the men. It goes both ways. So, be trustworthy. Trust, that kind of trust that we have with God is the same kind of trust he wants us to have with our spouses. Be responsible. In other words, just do what you're supposed to do. And then be godly. Because unless our relationship, like we talked about last week, unless our relationship is right with God, none of our other relationships can be right. Can't. Can't have a good relationship in the home, can't have a good relationship with anybody else, unless our relationship with God is right. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it gives us. I pray we'd heed it. We'd be doers, just not hearers of the word, but doers only. Help us to be what we need to be in our homes. Father, please bless the service that follows. Help us to honor Christ. Help us to uplift moms. Father, just work in a mighty way. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, help this be the day that they get saved. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for being here this morning.